Good start.
We're ready.
Okay, good. I'm ready too.
Okay. Well, we'd like to welcome you out to this work session. I'd like to excuse our president, Fred Dersch. He'll probably be arriving within a half an hour or so. He has a family obligation he needs to take care of, and we're here in this work session to discuss the elementary boundary change recommendations from our committee. So, Marshall, we'll turn it over to you.
Ari is our new reporter from the Herald. We're glad to have her with us. And lots of things happening this month, so we're going to be seeing lots of each other. We're glad you're here. What we wanted to do tonight is spend a little bit of time, please feel free to come on up, on what the work group. The work group's been working since October. It's been a combination of representation from all six elementary schools, both from licensed staff, parents, some classified staff, and the administrators from each building. And Dave helped me facilitate this throughout the time, and I really appreciate all the time and effort he put in, and especially to Newell from Cash Transportation, who has been the one who's been able to do all the magic with the maps and all the numbers and stuff. Without him, we would have been counting little dots on a map, and we would not have gotten as far as we did as quickly as we did. One of the things I wanted to, and I've kept you up to date, but I wanted to remind you of this work group, and again, we had Ann and Lynn were on that and came each time. We started very, very large and broad in terms of what is it we need to do, what we knew we had some challenges in terms of our enrollment, and we started at a large area and started looking at our demographic information, where we've been, what type of recidivism we've had, what type of increases we've seen. The fact that this last year we saw a marked increase in our kindergarten numbers, not knowing if that was an anomaly and whether or not that's going to be an ongoing pattern. I guess if it happens again this next year, then we have an ongoing pattern. And that's a hard one because this area is very difficult to solidify in terms of numbers. One thing that will be a help to us is that starting in March, we will be doing our kindergarten registration. Last year, we had more kids come through that than we actually had kindergartners the year before, which obviously was our first concern. We ended up with 70 additional kids from that. We ended up at 630. Versus the 560 that had gone through. So by the end of March, we'll kind of know where our numbers are and how that will work for our kindergarten. We did look at grade configuration changes. Would that work if we did some different changes? And we looked at that. We looked at not only the different options between east and west, north and south, size of buildings was a concern, and ultimately the cost of increased busing was a major concern, and at that point, the work group as a whole determined through consensus that that was not something that we should be looking at. We looked at the potential of year-round schools. We read a lot of different things about pro and con, finding that we had done that before. We had been on year-round schools before. It was not something that we wanted to relook at again. Same with a magnet school concept or school choice options concept, that at this point, the ability to do that would be challenging, and again, the busing costs were right now within the busing rules that we have within the state. We were hitting against block walls, and again, the additional cost was something that was a major factor in saying that was not a direction that we wanted to go. Busing issues right now, we know what we have. We realized that, and we went over what the challenges are with our existing busing, which has, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 11 buses that do the elementary schools, one of them paid and 10 that are the districts. So that number was looked at, and we looked at the cost of it adding and what the savings potential could also be. We also looked at building issues. We have, at this point, done some major renovations at Woodruff Elementary School, have built that school now to have a capacity of around 700. We have, on the northwest side, we've got Bridger, who has a capacity of about 650 type, but it could. We have the challenge of an Ellis and an Adams, who really, when you get past 430, 440, are way at capacity and major challenges for holding that many kids with the infrastructure, if anything. Ellis actually has physical room, but it doesn't have the infrastructure through the, especially in the gymnasium area, cafeteria combination. They cannot support that, plus restrooms. It just is not, they don't have the ability to support. You've got some room up at Hillcrest, and we have some room at Wilson. Wilson has a little bit larger capacity size than the current Hillcrest does. So we kind of looked at all of that. And with that, we came to a recommendation that we would come down to in the last meeting that we held in January, was to look at potential boundary changes, the possibility of having portables, or some perhaps a combination of both. But as we came to the final recommendations and findings, again, we have a major concern about Bridger and Adams. Those are the two ones with major problems. We do have Woodruff, who has a potential of two large subdivisions. In fact, we just, and I shared with Daryl today, there was one that had been on the books as approved 3 years ago. It's just been languishing. It was sold to another company who has done a reconfiguration of it, and with 100 lots ready to, we're seeing whether or not they're ready to start in four phases. But it will be in that area between 6 South and 4 South, in the area that is our district. The other one that they are, we've had conversations with the developers, are off of 2nd South, and they're ready to start, and they have about 50 to 60 homes again in multiple phases. So with that, the size of Woodruff, do we have enough growth room, or do we have options later on for them? It's still going to be an unknown, because that growth could be very quick, but it also could be very, very slow. The west side is not going to be able to handle by just the buildings on the west side. With Ellis the size that it is, it just puts some strain. So three buildings on the west side don't have the capacity to handle just the growth that we have, which means a continuation of busing. And then the Adams and Ellis challenge because of the numbers. So those are things that we talked about and discussed. These are the recommendations. We are recommending the boundary changes in an effort to minimize the need for adding portables. We have a discussion about the fact that adding a portable should be our last option. And because of the challenge it is at the sites and the overall cost, even though it's cheaper than putting in a building, there's still a capital cost to doing that, and then for a short period of time. So the goal we have is, with fingers crossed in some respects, is to look at this as a five-year boundary change. It's been since 2003, I believe, since we've had the last one, which is 7 years. We'd like this one to last for up to five. And two options are ones that were given. If you'd like to look at your right-hand side, I'm keeping the names for this group at the just so, because the committee of the work group utilized these letters. As we go to the public, we'll probably go and do an A and a B just to make it a little easier for them. Reality is we had seven different options we looked at. We got it down to two by consensus, and then with a request for a tweaking of the second one, and therefore that's why you have a B and a G1. So we did tweak G a bit and have some, and I've sent that out to the committee. As we look at these, I'll first put up the verbal statements of what is being gained or lost, and then we'll look at some maps. You do have some attached in your packets. Option B has five out of the six schools having impacts of one way or another. And let me add this one and get back into the other one.
Get out your glasses.
Yeah, get out. This is our current process. that we have and our current demographics. If you, one of the things I want you to look at and kind of keep as you're looking back and forth, our goal is to try to keep our demographics as similar to what we have now as possible so that we are not impacting negatively on schools because of the movement of some of our areas. That's a challenge because as you look at some of these areas and you have one of the maps you have there is called segments two. Those seven segments that are part, and there's the demographics of those are on the back, those are the areas kind of in question. Those are the areas we've kind of looked at. And the challenge is that many of those have extremely high socioeconomic challenges, and some of them are actually at 100%. And their numbers are such that it wasn't just an easy, let's just move this to here and call it good. It just, you know, the balloon just didn't work that way. Every time you pushed one area, it was too large of an impact. So, but those are the areas of the seven areas that we looked at. There's seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, and that's seven down there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you are looking at the demographics of those, how do we impact and put them in schools so that, again, we can keep that balance? The current balance, as you see up here, is we've got Adams, Bridger, and Ellis between the 70 to 72% range. We have Woodruff next at around 60, Hillcrest at 48, almost 48, and Wilson right at 40. So those are the areas that we were kind of working with and trying to establish. And the segments, again, are these. Now, if you look at those segments, you can see that you're talking, in some cases, even though there's 73 kids in that section 6, they are all free and reduced, all 73. So, and that is the area over on 1800 South that is the trailer park and the springs of Logan River. And now there's not a lot of students out of the springs at Logan River right now. They will be adding a fourth section to that in the spring. Most of the children there, if they come into our school, are kindergarten first, but their parents are mostly students that are up at Utah State and either undergraduate or graduate, and they are very transitory. There's a lot of movement every 6 months. So, but they are there because that is a reduced income housing development. That's why they're there. So they can't get, I don't believe they can make more than $30,000 in a family and actually live in that facility. So we looked at those segments and where we are going to go. That's what starts getting us to the different options. And this is option B. The changes on this are down on 1800 South, the area that we just were talking about would go to Woodruff, as well as right across the street, there's a subdivision called Rose Hill. Rose Hill is a smaller subdivision. There's about 5 students right now. They do not continue Karcher development. They do have plans for another phase, but not very soon. There are 5 kids going in from that area, 4 of which are going to Woodruff already under school choice. Only one student at this time from there was going up to Bridger Elementary School, where that group used to go. The major change of this is the fact that on the north side, those students used to be going to Adams Elementary School. What we're recommending is that the area on the south now goes to Adams. It is it's a solid group of homes. It's actually lost some students over time, and it does not have the potential for growth. So what that does for the Adams area, is at least with existing, is that we have a more stable population coming in, because we know that there's no more growth potential. And that was a concern of keeping that 1800 South, the north of 1800 South. So that is the major change there. The other change on B is, if you'll notice, in the upper northeast corner, okay. Right there.
Thank you.
It's a new toy.
It hasn't been flashing any airplanes.
That area right there was was going to Woodruff. We're recommending that that area go to Ellis Elementary School. An area right here that is bound, that was Ellis, which are those two blocks there, we are recommending that those go to Hillcrest. So that is a change. That's currently a bused area, but only part. Most of the students that are on the buses there are under, what's the title? There's only one actual street that is actually eligible to 1.5 miles. Everyone else is getting on because it's a courtesy bus and going. So those students would be then still on a bus but going to Hillcrest. And the process on this, there's enough room on the Hillcrest bus currently, they could pick up those students and go. Therefore, we actually would be saving one full bus in our system. So we'd go down to 9 buses of ours plus one that's paid by the parents in Wilson. The other change, is a slight group of homes right there off of 6 North between 3rd West and Main Street. Second West and Main Street. There's not that many, but they are facing 6 North. Those students were also recommended to come into Ellis from Bridger. So there's a slight area right there. In terms of numbers of kids, I'm not sure if you have the ability to pull that up. Wilson will stay the same. Bridger becomes a walking school. There will be no further buses at this point going to the Bridger area. Questions on B? There's 6
Marshall?
Here. Yes.
This is from the Voice of the Past.
Hi.
It's on the plan B on my map. I can't tell the dividing point between the houses that are on 7 to East on map B. Would they be going to Wilson or are they going to Hillcrest?
7th East does not change.
7th South.
Yeah, they're.
7th South
is not changed under option B.
They're still going to Hillcrest.
Everything you would be adding to Hillcrest by going just north of the existing line up to 4th South from Ellis.
Okay, so the Wilson line ends at 4th South?
The Wilson line ends at the, as I understand it, looks like it's the river.
It is.
Oh, the river. Okay. Oh, very nice. Thank you.
Okay. If you look at the next page, option B, it gives you the demographics of what we're looking at. It actually pulls Adams down, Bridger down. It does increase Ellis in terms of socioeconomic. It increases Hillcrest some, Wilson stays the same, and Woodruff increases. But it would still be the 4 schools that we currently have as Title I would stay as Title I.
So under this, how do you change Bridger? Do you affect it very much in terms of population?
Yes, it goes from almost 600 down to 516, so by 70 plus students. None of the busing areas go to them anymore. And then they lose a little bit off of 6 more.
And Ellis gains how many?
Ellis, under that one, gains
31, I believe.
Their numbers go up to 450, so it is pushing the limit at Ellis. Okay.
Give us some plans, Sue, and we'll build you a new gym.
Unfortunately, I can't get this the way that it needs to go. So whatever works for
it's
you.
It's upside
you
down.
It is. That's north. It's north on that side.
Sideways.
Option G1 does affect all 6 elementary schools. It stays the same for what we talked about for the area of 1800 South. That area still would be going to Woodruff. The change to Woodruff is really what happens to Riverwalk. The Riverwalk area, which has been going to Hillcrest, would now be going to Wilson. Included in that, though, is the 7th South area. At this point, that is part of the recommendation. Instead of going by the river, we're actually going down behind 7th South to pull that whole area in. The addition to the Hillcrest is the subdivision just to the west of Riverwalk that is on the other side of, this is right here, the golf course area and then the park. So it's this area right here, which is new. It would be leaving Woodruff and going to Hillcrest. The area we had initially, which was potentially going to Hillcrest, we've now kept that in within Woodruff. You'll notice that this goes up to 3rd South, which is right at the border of the high school. So this whole area leaves Ellis and goes to Hillcrest. The other major changes on this is that on both sides of 6 North, goes to Ellis and not into Bridger. Those are the major changes on this one.
So what's the advantage of this one over the other one, or is there an advantage to it?
Advantage is in terms of it balances out some numbers a bit. It balances out so that we're not as crowded at Ellis and at Adams. It balances, if you look at the next sheet, the demographics.
Our non-Title I schools do not have as many low socioeconomic kids.
Hillcrest is going to be almost exactly the same. There would be an increase of about 2.5% at Wilson. Woodruff would be a little bit higher than they are now. They're 60, so they gain almost 4%. But they would still be in a title setting. But it does not affect these as much. Number-wise, it allows for a little better, with the exception, and this is where the challenge on G1 is that it's pushing that limit for Woodruff more than, you know, knowing that Woodruff is going to be gaining some subdivisions over the next 5 years. So there's this, looking at this year's numbers, they would be at 658. And they're, where are you right now, 620?
623.
So it's a slight increase in what they had, but again, it pushes that envelope for the overall potential for expansion. So that was one of the reasons why the G1 is to try to get that as balanced as we could with our demographics. Again, we have some possible challenges to either one. It was kind of like a balance, but as we looked at those compared to some of the other ones, it met as more of our factors than not. Now I'd like those principals and those parents that are here, if you could just kind of share some of your observations of what this is, what your thoughts are from your perspective of your school, to share with the board so that they might be able to gather more information. We'll start over here with Sue and kind of work around.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think what to say. I'm at a loss for words. That's unusual for me. I think it was a good process for everybody to go through. I think we had some ideas and solutions that we thought were going to be fabulous that didn't turn out to be quite so fabulous. And I think we can all come to a consensus that either we could live with either one of these options that are they're here for us. You know, we talked about ideas. My school is basically landlocked. There's no place for me to grow. I don't have any new subdivisions coming in. You know, so do you load me up and keep me at what I my capacity, or leave room for growth? It doesn't. It's like six months either way. So I'm happy with either one.
Yeah, and I think our biggest concern was them to structure the school, like we said, we didn't want to be too high of numbers. Just if we could have a new gym, we'd gladly take more kids. We'd love it. So, but that was a concern. And also, we had talked. We were a little concerned as a group changing the bus students because they're the ones who get changed the most often. But with that, most of those families have changed in those areas as well. So it wouldn't be like we're impacting the same families over and over, even though it's the same area that's changed. So I feel comfortable with either option.
I agree, Sue. I think it's been a good process. We've been able to look through and try to figure out what would work best for all the six schools. I think we're okay with either one. We are, in any of our situations, we're a little I don't even want to use the word concerned, but thinking about the growth, potential growth down the road. But that's always an if and when. So we're good with either one.
I think it would be a good idea if as we go around, if you'd state from what school you're from, and your name.
Ellis Elementary.
And I'm Melanie Peterson from Ellis.
Okay. And Daryl from Woodruff.
Katie Chapman from Hillcrest. It was interesting to see all of the possibilities as we went through it and the consequences and the ramifications of everything, but both of the answers, I guess, are really good, especially for Hillcrest, because we keep all those kids coming up from other areas up to Hillcrest, which is wonderful.
I'm Lisa Larkin from Hillcrest, and one thing we were concerned about was we like our demographics, and either plan, we're pretty much the same. We like having that diversity, both ethnic and socioeconomic. And so both plans still address that. And Riverwalk in the G1 plan, that would go to Wilson. But there's such high turnover at Riverwalk. It might affect the people that are there now if they stay there another year. But, like, was it you that said? Yeah, there's such high turnover that it's not like we're just yanking them around all the time.
What about
and
your specific street?
On my little cul-de-sac, I love Hillcrest, and since I work there, I would probably do school twice because I work there. But it makes sense for the area, though, because I can actually walk to Wilson. When I was subbing there for a year, I would walk, and it's a lot closer, and so it makes sense.
Now with First West open, too.
That's even nicer. I used to have to go kind of a curly Q way.
You're part of a community where you've been kind of isolated.
Yeah. So either plan, I'm fine with.
Ann Geary, and what I've been most impressed with is this committee and the work that they've done. Mm-hmm. You know, we would show up, and Marshall would hand us readings on year-round school or K-12 school. They did some really interesting stuff, and we have studied everything. And I believe that we've come to some consensus of the committee, and I'm just so impressed with the people at our schools and in our community who've been willing to put in all of this time and do all of this work.
Well, I would say echo Ann's sentiments. I think we've had a great turnout at the meetings and had a great it's just been a really good committee to work with. I think it's been one of the most enjoyable ones that I've worked with. And so I too am the one thing that I could live with both, but I think as I see Hillcrest starting to age, and you're probably going to see less students start coming down to Wilson, that this would probably be a benefit to Wilson overall. Even with the nice.
Thank you. Jed Gruning at Adams. And we'd be okay. Both of them are the same for us, so we'd be okay with either one. But we'd be sad to lose those kids. But, we can't accommodate any growth at all. So we kind of have to make that switch, and we'll be good. We'll be fine with it.
Dave Long, Bridger Elementary. I really enjoyed the process that we went through. It opened my eyes to a lot of things as we studied the different articles and looked at the different scenarios in our town, looking at all those different maps and how it would affect each of our areas. Really opened your eyes to the diversity in Logan and the complexity of a decision like this. It's not just a matter of drawing a line somewhere and saying, this group goes over here. We will be affected in reducing our numbers, which was the cause of all of this in the first place. It will reduce our numbers to levels where we can manage our lower grades, which was our concern for next year. But we would lose a significant number of our students in the upper grades, and that will affect us in other ways. But that's going to be the nature, I think, of Bridger for some years to come now. So we will adjust and develop our programs around the kind of students that we're going to be serving, the age groups that we're going to be serving.
We just found out also for you that on the 10th there, look, the Aspen, is it Aspen Park, Aspen Grove?
They're meeting to talk about.
They're adding their second phase, which is 70 homes?
Oh, those are 100 units.
100 units was the one from...
Oh, 46. Well,
46.
So down the 10th West?
46 West, just south of 10th. South of 10th North.
Yeah.
Off of 4th West.
I thought they were getting ready for this.
Yeah. They have that whole area back there, so there will be 46 more homes.
And that was the concern. We had no more room for growth. And this gives us a couple of years to add on if we need to accommodate some lower grade growth. That really, next year was not going to work, and this will allow this to happen.
So it didn't work this year, did it?
It was difficult at best this year.
I was trying to give him a full day kindergarten, and he had no place to put it.
Yeah, the tent wasn't going to work out.
What I'm afraid of is a lot of those things will continue still, just because we will be primarily a K-3 school with some upper grades, but our number of classes in the upper grades doesn't mirror our lower grade at all, and that's just the nature of Bridger, I'm afraid. So
Eric Markworth, Hillcrest. I too just was impressed with the process. You know, I think one of the strengths of Logan City Schools is, you know, the commitment to a neighborhood school idea. And, you know, I think there had to be some really kind of difficult decisions to be made, but I really felt like everybody felt good about the recommendations that we were able to present to the board. If you look at both of the options, they both increase our numbers at Hillcrest, which I think is something that needs to happen, because we do have the room. We do have the ability to be able to take in more students. The option G increases our student population by almost 50 students, but that's okay, because we have those classrooms to be able to accommodate those. We would lose like you said, Lisa, we lose a group of you know, that for the last 8-9 years have been coming up to Hillcrest with great success. But I think maybe the overall thing I could say is, you know, it doesn't really matter where our kids go to school in Logan City School District. They're going to get a quality education. And so, you know, if we get kids from other areas we didn't have before, we're going to take them in and educate them. And if we lose kids to other schools, I know they're going to just care about them just as much as we did. So that's all I have to say.
Board members, questions? Are there any questions that we need answers to so that before we... go to the next phase, which is public input.
Sounds like that was a great process. Appreciate the work that's been done.
And my biggest question would be how many of you and those who aren't here can come to those public meetings? Because what you say is what's really important. They'll want to listen to the superintendent, but you know, you, Lisa, saying from your point of view, and people from this committee, if you can be there and give the input, that's a lot better than the board or the superintendent making the comments, because it's when neighbors and principals and, you know, teachers say things that they really listen. Mm-hmm. We're not just doing to them.
If I could just make another comment, Marshall. It may be a challenge for us to recall everything we studied as a work group, but I think if we could get to those meetings and just really share how in-depth this was, talking about everything from grade configurations to magnet schools, year-round schools, different kinds of busing, different busing, or portables, that there was just such a list of things that we covered in the meetings that we held, and all the maps and demographic. It really needs to get out to the public how thorough this process was. And I think the committee members can bring that to bear as we get out to those meetings.
One of the proposals, we'd like your feedback on this, is that next week you all have parent-teacher conferences. And then the opportunity of having maps, small maps available, but also a large map and some points kind of sitting there and having it available. And then we're also going to be trying to work with Clark to have the ability for people to call in or email in questions or concerns. So we'll have some things before we go to the meetings on the 16th and the 18th and try to answer as many questions as we can up front, so that I'd like to keep it as, again, one of the parameters as we came into this, to try to really keep this focused on the possible, and knowing that this can become a very emotional situation, but try to keep it as focused as we can, so that we are keeping our focus on the kids. And I'd like to keep that process continuing in this, so that we're open with our information. We want to be completely transparent. But in doing that, there's going to be families affected. And Daryl, you're going to have an area that has always gone to Woodruff now being bused. It's a plus because they actually have transportation. It's been a hard walk for them to get to your school. So in that respect, I know as a parent, I always liked it when my child was actually on a bus versus walking, because I knew I could go to that bus stop. I knew they were going to get on a bus. I knew someone was going to meet them on the other end. And barring an accident on the way, which was, you know, not going to probably happen, they were safer than they were if they were having to walk on a sidewalk and go into a school, especially during winter months. That was my thought.
Marshall, one question I have that I think would be interesting to know what the thing is the school choice. You know, we can set these boundaries and everything, but what are we, if everybody that's going where they're going now say, well, I want to have school choice and I want to go where I'm going now, I think that's going to have to be addressed.
Okay. I think, because if not, we're going to have major bulges if we're not careful. For the majority of people, they'll be able to move if they're new and things coming in. I would say that if they have an existing child, and then we need to work that through, and I like the principals to help me with that, but I think between now and the 16th, we probably need to have some guidelines of what you feel. My thoughts are that those that are there might have a higher priority in school choice than those that are new coming in. And we do something to honor existing before we get into new people wanting to have. I don't know, do you guys have any thoughts? Have you guys talked about that at all as principals? But I think you're right. We do have to have fairly clear guidelines on the school choice for this transition for that first year, so that we honor some things. But at the same point, each school's going to have to look at their numbers, and all of a sudden, if it means 35 more kids are trying to come into the fourth grade, you know, those, we're going to have some hard decisions potentially. But it's easier if we have a set of guidelines. So I'll put that down. School choice options need to be finalized, need to be clarified. Anything else?
Marshall, I have a quick question.
Okay.
Maybe you could have Sue answer. Was there representation on the committee from the area that would be like Main Street to Third West It's Third South to about Sixth South area that was formerly going to Ellis that perhaps would be going to
the one down there on Sixth South?
Yeah.
No, there was no representation on that. The one that our representative is further west than the area that's going.
Okay.
And further north. Okay. And our both schools.
So that area would be one that we would, you know, there are some long-standing families in that area with some young children. That one family, they have a little, three boys and a girl, or two boys and a girl. Their oldest is now in middle school. They live off that little lane.
There were nine people in that area, right? Isn't that what we counted?
Yeah, there were nine.
There are nine kids is all in there.
Three of them are from at least one family that I know. What are names?
And did I hear Lisa Larkin's there?
Yes, yep. Lisa Larkin is here.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear who was speaking. And so she's okay about her, on option G1, her subdivision going to Wilson?
Yes, because I'll do school choice.
Well, I knew you would, but I know there are other children in that.
Yeah, there are Aspen and Dana, and they're the only two others. And I really don't know what they would do, but I think if I were not working at Hillcrest, I would probably go to Wilson, as much as I love Hillcrest, because I can walk to Wilson. It's a lot closer. Even if I drove, it's like 5 minutes away versus 15 to get to Hillcrest. And I know a lot of people in that Wilson area, so I would be fine with it.
Okay. Is that all that's in your neighborhood? It's just your kids and the...
And the two Kressel girls. Yep. That's it.
And is the one Kressel girl mainstreamed into Hillcrest?
Mm-hmm. She okay. is.
All right. That's all I was wondering about.
Any other questions? Ann?
When we have these meetings and we listen to what people say, what is your recommendation to the board on how we're going to make decisions? Will these meetings be just you presenting and then we get input from the people who are there and response from the committee? What are you envisioning these meetings to look like?
We've held public meetings before in that fashion. I was expecting to have basically the same as we've done when we did the schedule change process at the high school, which was an initial short orientation of what the data is, asking of questions, observations, concerns from the group, sharing of those from the committee that are there, and then making sure we have, obviously Stacy there, writing anything down, making sure we have information. And then at that point, I would like to see at the end of each is whether or not there are directives from the board to say, can you look at, if something's brought up that you feel that we have not looked at, that we would get from you to say, would you please review and come back with. We're under somewhat of a short time frame. We have the 16th and the 18th, and then the decision's on the 23rd. But as we've done in the past, nothing's final until that vote on the 23rd. And we have made. And this board has looked at and has requested additional information in order to make that decision. So that's why I would say that week is very critical. Your impact back to us as to what we need to do would be there in case you're saying, no, I want you to look at. And then the final discussion on the 23rd would be where you're saying, this is what we want. This is the option we think is the best, and this is why, and then have the vote. Because you will have two in front of you. Or you say, neither, we're not going to do any changes, and we're going to have to look at something different.
One option
which is within your option. And the work group knows that and understands that there's a lot of complexity in all of this. But the work that we've done, this group was amazing to work with. It was so fun. And again, without Noel, we would not have been able to do it. Without Dave, I couldn't have been able to do it. So thank you to them. And everyone's participation, I think, you could say that everyone had an opportunity to participate, but really tried to make that work.
Well, I really appreciated at the end, everybody's vote counted. We all had to say, we agree or we disagree, and it was everybody who was present was accounted for in their thoughts.
We had great participation. Everyone tried to make it if they could. If not, we got materials to them, and it was truly an enjoyable time, and we did it fairly. I think we did it within five meetings.
And only an hour and a half every meeting.
We basically got out of date. A few minutes after.
So let me see if I understand this correctly, Marshall. If after we got the committee's recommendation, and we get all the public's information, and they all say that these are the right ones to do, we can still say we don't think the community and this committee have made the right choice.
You have that right as a board.
Wow, what power do we have?
maybe along that same line, but I was going to say it before you said anything, Jeff. I'm just wondering, in this calm, quiet environment here with representatives from the committee, I'm not seeing anything in my mind that bubbles up, like this has got to be the one that comes forward. But I'm wondering if it wouldn't be wise for your school's perspective to have a pros and cons of each of those proposals that either gets shared in the public forums or can be shared with the school board, because there may be nuances of one or the other that is preferential for your school for a really important reason that hasn't been said in here and may not get said in those public forums, because sometimes those can be more emotional than analytical, which is what I think this committee has really done, is analyzed everything that's important in every factor. But I think whether parents or the principals kind of know your schools, and you know if there's something on either one of those plans that would bubble to the surface is really kind of being the reason you want the other plan, that those are shared.
Could I ask the principals to kind of work with your group and the teachers as well as parents to maybe come up with those for each of those two and get those to me so that we can then get out to this. I want to get it out to the work group and then up to the board and then have them as part of what we will have. My envisionment is a large map that size and then a poster on the side of it saying proposed boundary changes. This is how it affects you, and kind of going through that and some of the points that pros and the cons can be, you know, kind of right there. And then if you have any questions, please contact your. And this is where I don't know if you want to be in witness protection or not witness protection, but members of your school who are on the committee, you can call or contact. Or and my name, or just my name, and then I get it back to you somehow with the glasses and the hat and stuff, so that you don't have to be recognized. Either way, will be fine for me.
Ideally, we would like to have the community help us make a decision that's the best of the two, rather than us sitting at the end saying it doesn't matter. And because right now, what I'm hearing is it doesn't matter. Well, I don't know that that's how everybody's going to feel. So I'd like to really have some pros and cons that we can look at, so we make a decision that really comes down on the side of the most people wanting it, because this is the better choice.
So you're thinking of having public meetings at the schools then?
What we're doing is we'll have two meetings, one on the 16th and one on the 18th. One will be at Mount Logan Middle School, one will be at Logan High School. We will handle the three north buildings at Mount Logan, the three south buildings at Logan High. And on this, the
is Ellis north or south? I'm sorry, is Ellis north or south?
Ellis is in the south.
Okay.
The Ellis, and they can go to either one, but we're kind of focusing in on the issues of Hillcrest, Adams, and Bridger for the one at Mount Logan, and the one at Logan High will be Ellis, Wilson, and Woodruff.
From
6:30 on those on that Tuesday.
You might want to, rather than say north and south,
you say the schools.
Yeah.
Specifically the schools, that
okay.
They're welcome at either, but
yeah, I
just because
sure.
I didn't know.
Yeah, gotcha. No, and I have a press release for Ari to work with that said we'd like you from these schools on the north. I don't know if I even said north and south. It's these schools at Mount Logan, these schools at Logan High, but you can go to either one depending on your needs, because we'll discuss all of them involved.
And the posters and the pros and cons, you want this done before
we'd like SEP conferences? We'd like to have them up for your SEP conferences next week, which would mean if you could get me the pros and cons by Thursday of this week, then we can get everything arranged and ready for you.
I think something we need to bring up to the board as well is all of the numbers take into account our kids who are school choice currently.
Yes.
They pulled all of those kids out, did the boundaries, plugged them back into the school. And that, I think that's why Marshall has talked about honoring the kids who are already school choice, because that is how those numbers came up. And that could cause a big problem if we said there will be no school choice. That would totally wipe out how the boundaries are now. So
For the board, it's interesting. There are 350 students currently on school choice from within the district, and another 100 students that are from outside of the school district that come to our schools. And a lot of that has to do with location of job and where the school is and being able to drop them off. Time, I know at Ellis gets a lot in terms of an 8 o'clock because it's closer to the time that their work is starting. Babysitting, university has a lot of impact on that. And actually, Wilson has the least number of school choice kids into it right now. But that surprised me. But the numbers do encompass the 350 kids that are currently on school choice. That was a fun statistic that, and again, Newell and his magic was able to do the pulling out, putting back in, and stuff. But we will do that, remembering this in the dialogue. We need to make sure that that's aware. And I think we can cover that by making sure we have very clear school choice options as part of this process up front as we post everything next week.
Will that also be on the website?
Yeah, we'll get it on the website, so it'll be there, and with links to, again, email. I'm trying to get like a boundary dot whatever, and so that they can send in that we can look at and then respond to. Anything else, board members, that you need in terms of the data? Christy, did the email come through to you with all the attachments?
Yes, it works perfectly.
Okay.
It's just the colors were hard to see on B1, and I have my G1, or my on the B, but I have my G1 map here. So
okay.
With those few clarifications, it was perfect. So
I
thank you very much for sending those.
We'll do an option Roman numeral 1 and an option Roman numeral 2, I think, is what we'll probably come down to. So, because saying B and G1, they're going to go, why? Where's A? Where's F? You know, and all that. So we can just kind of come down to those.
In some ways, I kind of like it, like when we presented the attendance policy. It was like 26 or something. Probably people knew we'd done a lot of work with it.
Again, board members, this work group was unbelievable in the efforts. They read a lot. Their dialogue was honest. I believe they felt that there was a trusting relationship with them. We had some fun, and it was just a really enjoyable work group.
And Newell
deserves
great praise.
You
guys have done it without him.
But he threatened me in saying we can never do the same. Do boundary changes the same year that Cash does. So. That double, triple duty with all of the changes. And then these ones, can we do it as a link potentially to your site since you have the masters of the maps that are clear?
Just like the counties where you just jump and look through Google Maps.
So ours would kind of go as a hot link into yours and then a hot link from there.
I can talk to Clark.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be glad to do that. Anything else for the board for tonight? Mickey, okay?
Mickey's awesome, yes. Thanks very much for asking. My family's wondering where I am.
Okay, well, we want to thank everyone for participating on the committee and especially for coming tonight. Appreciate it very much. And with that, we'll adjourn. Well, thank you.
Want to see any of the bells and whistles, guys? board members would like to see what you all have.
And I did some for my girl without this on it, but then I did a little side support, and it fits on the little side support, but I did matching, like, yeah, and like then a pen that was coordinated with whatever. It was, anyway, it's really
fun.
Yeah,
I think
there's a little tiny notebook that are